Good morning.
Good morning and happy Advent, friends. Welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church. Whether you've been here your whole life or this is your first time, we are glad that you have found your way to this worshiping community. Please don't forget to check out your bulletin. There are all sorts of great ways that during this Advent season, you can grow in faith through service and mission, fellowship, and learning. If you have any questions, don't hesitate to ask someone around you. And make sure you do go through that order of worship as it is Advent. There are a few little different things going on this morning. Also, this morning, just a note that we do have a congregational meeting that will be following worship here in the sanctuary. Go get your coffee, migrate your way back, and we will begin shortly after the service ends. A few other announcements in regards to Advent and the Christmas season. Yes, friends, the rumors are true. Christmas Eve is on a Sunday. I know. So after lots of decision making, we are doing something a bit different. We will have worship on Sunday morning at 10 a.m. and it is going to be impromptu Christmas pageant craziness. So you don't want to miss that. And then in the evening, we will just be having one service at 7 o'clock. That will be the traditional lessons, carols, candle lighting, and all the choirs, including junior choir, will sing that evening. We have quite a few announcements this morning. Barb, so we'll get going.
Good morning, everybody. I just wanted to remind you that today and next Sunday, I'm selling tickets for the Women's Candlelight Dinner. They're $22. It's going to be at the Whittier Party House. We're going to be collecting for Willow again this year. So see me in the fellowship hall if you haven't already bought your ticket. If you don't know your schedule, you can certainly call me on the phone so we can get a good number to Whittier next week. Thanks.
Good morning. Just an announcement about the Cameron tree. There's been a little difference this year. We did not adopt a family. So what we are doing instead is we're going to provide gifts for their holiday party as well as for their Christmas village for the kids to be able to go buy presents for their parents. So it is not deja vu. The tickets do all read the same. They're based on color. So red is for boys 5 to 12, purple is girls 5 to 12, yellow is toddlers, and green is for adults. So go ahead and pick a tag off the tree. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. Due to lack of demand, today's babysitting provided by our Jamaica Youth was canceled, but we do have another opportunity for families on Saturday, December 16th, and that's in actually an evening time from 4 until 8, so maybe that'll work out better for some of the families to shop. And also the sign-up for the coffee house entertainment is also on the kiosk, so if you could do that, that would be great. Thanks.
Ooh, awesome. There are a number of sign-ups on the kiosk, also included St. Joseph House of Hospitality, food and serving. Check it out. You'll also see another sign-up there and also a flyer in your bulletin about an opportunity that we have coming. I know the snow hasn't even flown yet, but we're talking about next summer, and we are going to be having an all-church retreat. The information is in your bulletin. I'll be happy to answer more questions, but we do need sign-ups by December 20th. I know. So take a look at your calendars, and even if it's something you're just interested in and want more information, go ahead and sign up. We'll need 10 people to be able to do this, and it'll be a great opportunity. All right, friends, let us prepare our hearts, our minds, our entire selves to worship God.
Thank you. Christmas is coming. We all have expectations for this season of preparation for Christ's birth.
We live in a world which focuses on material things and a desire for more. More spending, more wealth, more prestige.
But we wait the birth of our Savior, who is content with humble beginnings in a manger. Christ brings hope to our world, not for money or power, but for grace and love. We'll be led not by a king covered in gold and jewels, but by a little child, King of all creation.
As we look forward to our Christmas celebrations, we light this first candle with hope in the birth of Christ, who shall be great to the ends of the earth.
You are comfortable and able for the call to worship. Awake, awake, people of God.
God guides our feet on the ways of peace.
The prophets proclaim, announcing salvation.
Our hope is on the way.
Thank you.
join me now in the call to confession, prayer of confession? Holy and loving God, we give thanks for the promise of this sacred season and for the joy we find in the Christ child. Yet even as we rejoice, we recognize that we often fail to live with the hope of redemption. In this season of anticipation, we know that we are easily distracted by our own projects and preparations. We lose focus on the one who is the source of our joy. Forgive us, God, and restore our hope in you. Amen.
I'd like to invite the children forward. So any young people who want to come forward at this time, they are welcome. Hi. Good morning, friends. Good morning, gentlemen. It's great to have you in worship today. Hi. Good morning. So today is the first Sunday in Advent, and it is the first day that we begin in the church year to tell the story of Jesus. So, all good stories have awesome beginnings, right? So, I want you all to help me here because I'm going to ask you to tell me what story. So, I'm going to read the beginning of a story. Good morning, Freya. I'm going to read the beginning of the story. And I want you to tell me what story it is. You guys think you can do this? I know you can. Are you ready? Let's see. I'll start with an easy one. It's easy for me, at least. In an old house in Paris that was covered with vines lived 12 little girls in two straight lines. What book is that from? Who knows? Anyone? You guys know? Oh, what's the name of that book? Madeline, there we go. How about this one? Chug, chug, chug. Puff, puff, puff. Ding, dong, ding, dong. Does anyone recognize? Ding, dong. The Little Engine That Could. Has anyone read that one? No, you guys. Okay, here we go. Maybe a little bit easier for some of you. Mr. and Mrs. Dursley of number 4 Privet Drive were proud to say that they were perfectly normal. Thank you very much. Which stories is that? Tell me. Harry Potter. See? Okay, let's see. And I know this one might be familiar to some. Where is Papa going with that axe? Said Fern to her mother as they were setting the table for breakfast. Charlotte's Web. good stories start with good first lines. So I have one more for you. You ready for one more? In a galaxy far, far away. Which one? Everyone together, what is it? Star Wars. Okay, maybe that's not quite a book, but it's a movie I'm pretty excited about. And that's coming. And each of the gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, of the Bible, start their way of telling the story of Jesus in very different ways. Today, we are going to hear the story from Luke. Now, Luke has very, very long sentences to start his story, but he wants to make sure that everyone knows that the way that he tells his story is full of creative details and little pieces of information that get us excited and ready to welcome Jesus' birth. So maybe this week, when you are at home, part of one of the ways you could prepare for Jesus' coming is to find your Bibles at home and just read the first sentence, just the first sentence, that's all, of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John to hear how they help us get ready for an incredible story that we'll hear about all this month, Jesus' birth. Can you pray with me? Dear God, thank you for the beginning of a great story. Help us to listen and get ready for Jesus. Amen. All right, so you guys can head to Sunday school. And if you guys want to go to Sunday school, you're welcome to. Or you can hang out in church with us. Either way. Sound good? Okay.
first reading of the word today comes from Isaiah 52, verses 1 through 10. Awake, awake, put on your strength, O Zion. Put on your beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city, for the uncircumcised and the unclean shall enter you no more. Shake yourself from the dust. Rise up, O captive Jerusalem. Loose the bonds from your neck, O captive daughter of Zion. For thus says the Lord, you were sold for nothing, and you shall be redeemed without money. For thus says the Lord, long ago my people went down into Egypt to reside there as aliens. The Assyrian too has oppressed them without cause. Now therefore, what am I doing here, says the Lord, seeing that my people are taken away without cause? Their ruler's house, says the Lord, and continually all day long my name is despised. Therefore my people shall know my name. Therefore in that day they shall know that it is I who speak. Here am I. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of the messenger who announces peace, who brings good news, who announces salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. Listen, your sentinels lift up their voices. Together they sing for joy, for in plain sight they see the return of the Lord to Zion. Bring forth together into singing, ye rooms of Jerusalem, for the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord has bared his holy arm before the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God.
Advent season here at GPC, our theme is entitled The Rest of the Story. And each Sunday in Advent, you will be invited to hear the stories as they are shared in Scripture. You will also be invited to utilize your own sacred imagination as we explore various aspects of these stories in creative, different ways, This morning, after I read the story from the Gospel of Luke, you will hear such a story from the perspective of Elizabeth's midwife. Let us first hear the story as it comes to us from Luke. Now the time came for Elizabeth to give birth, and she bore a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown his great mercy to her, and they rejoiced with her. And on the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him Zechariah after his father. But his mother said, "No, he is to be called John." And they said to her, "None of your relatives has this name." And then they began motioning to his father to find out what name he wanted to give him. Well, he asked for a writing tablet, and he wrote, "His name is John." And all of them were amazed. And immediately Zechariah's mouth was opened and his tongue freed, and he began to speak, praising God. Fear came over all their neighbors, and all these things were talked about throughout the entire hill country of Judea. All who heard them pondered them and said, "What then will this child become? For indeed the hand of the Lord was with him." The knock came in the middle of the night, because they always do. With a rushed and urgent plea from a sibling or a neighbor, "The baby is coming." The wick of the olive oil lantern washed over Obadiah's familiar face. "It's Elizabeth," he whispered. He spoke of his elderly neighbor and her husband, Zechariah. "But I suppose I shouldn't refer to her as elderly unless I want to put myself in that category too. Elizabeth and I grew up together. Here in the hill country, outside the hustle and bustle of Jerusalem, Elizabeth was always a precocious girl, eager to please. The daughter of a priest, so it could have gone either way. But she was glad to fulfill what was expected of her. She even married a priest. Zechariah, such a good man. As they grew older, they were devastated to realize they would not be blessed with a child. But please understand, this is more about just longing for a child. The next generation is how God's covenant lives on in us, a people, Israel. But that Elizabeth, ever the optimist, she reminded me that God always provides hope. And she would recount the stories of our faith, of Abraham and Sarah, Isaac and Rebecca, Rachel and Jacob, Elkanah and Hannah, couples whose long waiting and hopes were met with a child. Now, Elizabeth never once spoke about the other women in the community as they did, about her not having a child being a punishment from God. Each and every day, she would cling to that hope, waiting, asking, praying. And how I remember the day she found out that she was pregnant. despite the stories of our faith, no one seemed to believe that it could be true. But maybe this was because when Zechariah returned from the temple, we didn't see either he or Elizabeth for a number of months. And so rumors swirled as to why Zechariah was in the temple for so long when it was his turn to make the offering of incense. This was a once-in-a-lifetime experience for him as a priest. So he may have just taken his time to offer the incense on behalf of the people. It was a prayer, really, for all of us. But he said nothing when he came out. And neither he nor Elizabeth were seen coming out of their home for months afterwards. But I was the first to see her. When the same young face of Obadiah knocked on my door in the middle of this night, he was the one who came to me saying, "Midwife, midwife, it's Elizabeth. She wishes to speak to you." And when I saw her, she did not need to use words. The smile on her face and the hand on her swelling belly said it all. "Come, come, Deborah. Feel the child move." And she shared with me that she felt the child first move when she heard Mary's voice. "Mary, your cousin?" I asked, referring to her young relative from Nazareth. More than a week of walking for her to journey here. But I would learn that the message Mary carried in her words and her body was what we have all been waiting for. And Elizabeth's eyes blazed with new hope and a filled urgency. "Blessed is she, the mother of our Lord." She recounted of a hope spoken by our people for centuries. A hope of promises fulfilled, of wombs opened, people set free, and a return to the way of the Holy One. The Son of David, a new David, who would bring justice and peace to our people and the world. A world where none of God's people lived in fear of violence, or oppression, where all would see God's salvation. But for a moment, I was confused. These children, they will do this together? And Elizabeth smiled again. "No. No, my son will prepare the way. He will remind us of these promises, and he will point to the promises fulfilled in the one who embodies the love God has for this world. He will herald the coming of our Lord." And for the next 3 months, I would care for these two women, separated by age, but brought together by the fulfillment of God's promises to God's people. Now the time had come for Elizabeth to have her baby. And I made my way through the darkness and into the home of Elizabeth and Zechariah. And standing there with her hands pressed against the stone wall, face damp with sweat, she turned to me. "Oh, you're here. How long has this been going on, Elizabeth?" And a wave of pain rippled through her body as she explained the back pain for the last 2 days. Now, even though I told her she needed to call for me right away if anything changed because of her advanced age, she quickly dismissed my lecturing. She explained how she wanted to be sure that Mary had everything she needed before her long journey home. And besides, Elizabeth said, I wouldn't want to scare the poor child with all of this. She will know soon enough. And trying to hide my smile, I began to unroll my supplies from their leather case. A jar of olive oil, salt, a basin, a knife, pre-cut scarlet threads, all laid out on the birthing stool I brought with me. And looking at the threads, Elizabeth said, I don't think we need to worry about twins. She remembered the story of the midwife who delivered Tamar's twins. She wisely tied a scarlet thread onto the wrist of the one that came out first. That way, when he drew the hand back and his brother pushed his way out into the world first, she knew who truly was the firstborn. A tradition we have carried on for centuries. Just to be sure, Elizabeth, I said, because I'm not taking any chances. When it comes to any aspect of this birth, there were so many complications to be concerned with. But I will say it was nice not having to worry about one complication, that of a worried husband calling out to me from the next room with every birth pang to see if his wife was doing okay. Zechariah had been unable to speak for months. He paced uneasily within earshot, but he left Elizabeth and I to do our work. And through the night, she wavered, and by dawn was on the birthing stool. And both of our arthritic hips and knees were relieved when the child made his way into the world. The light of the coming morning was just bright enough to see. Elizabeth was right. A son. And with that scarlet thread tied to his arm, I wiped him down. The water and the salt and wrapped him tightly in thin strips of cloth. And I placed him in Elizabeth's arms and I whispered a blessing over the child and the mother. May God bless you and watch over you. May God shine his face towards you and show you favor. May God look with favor upon you and grant you peace. When Zechariah entered the room, his face was illuminated with joy, and he held his firstborn son as Elizabeth and I made our way to the mikvah, the ritual pool where women washed. And the news had spread so quickly that Elizabeth had given birth. And all the women of town met us there with water from their wells and rejoiced, showering her with water and blessings. God's mercy abounded, blessing upon blessing for Elizabeth and Zechariah. All of us, really. And after I attended the family in their home, I packed up my things. I told Elizabeth I would be back in a few days to see how they were doing. And I came back 6 days later to a full house. 8 days, really. The day that, in accordance with the law, the child would be circumcised. And everyone then thought, of course, he would be named after his father. Standing outside beneath the window, I could hear Elizabeth with her quiet and firm voice declare, No, he is to be called John. The gasps and murmurs rippled through the crowd at the absurdity of the situation. Of course, a woman could name a child, but why give him a name that no one else in the family has? Surely Zechariah could talk some sense into her, but still he could not talk, and reaching for the tablet, he wrote, his name is John. And I peeked in. watched this old couple share a knowing smile together. The kind of smile that only can be shared between two people who know the hearts of one another and of God. And just as mysteriously as Zechariah's voice had disappeared, it returned and he began praising God, and awe spread throughout the town. And none of us doubted that the hands of God were all over this. But what did that mean for this child? What would he become? Zechariah recounted what both he and Elizabeth knew in their heart to be true. God fulfilled God's promises to Abraham and to David, and their son would announce the way of the one who is to come. And so now we wait. I am waiting for the Lord. Be strong. Friends, come. Come, all of you who long to hear the stories. All who long to hear the rest of the story. Here is a place where your stories are welcome. The ones that the world knows and the ones that only God knows. Our Savior invites those who trust him to share in the feast which he has prepared. According to Luke, when our Lord was at table with his disciples, he took the bread and he blessed it and he broke it. He gave it to them. Their eyes were opened and they recognized him. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Life-giving and breathtaking God, we delight to give you thanks and praise because nothing is impossible with you. You were with Abraham in the promise of a people, with Jacob in the promise of land, with David in the promise of a hope and home to dwell in. Just as Elizabeth brought forth the wonders of your mercy, so we look to you to bring out the emptiness of our lives, the wondrous fruits of your grace. You have prepared the way of our salvation by raising up a Savior. So with the angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, we join the unending hymn. Holy, holy, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Even in this Advent season, we dare to remember Jesus on a night when he faced betrayal and desertion, and even death, gathering with his closest friends and infusing the ordinary with new meaning. As we remember his life and death, as we come to the table of the resurrection, we speak of that mystery we call faith.
Christ died witness to the world. Christ rose, loving God with all that he was. Christ will return, our hope and peace. Send now your Holy Spirit upon the bread and the cup, O God, simple gifts from creation, which grace us with your life and upon those who gather around your table. Fed with the finest wheat, may we go forth to fill the lives of all whose emptiness imprisons them. Having tasted the cup of joy, may we bring the sweet honey of hope to those parched by despair. And welcomed without question at your table of grace, may we open our hearts to all who have been forsaken by the world. Through Christ's glory and honor, praise and thanksgiving are yours, God of new life. With the Holy Spirit and your holy people, on this first day of the week and in all the days to come. Amen. And indeed, we give thanks that Jesus, having faith in those gathered, gathered his friends around a similar table on the night before he gave himself over to the authorities for his death, and so that they might remember and know how God's bread gives strength. He took common bread and made it whole, just as he takes common people, like all of us, and makes us whole. To remember, he asks that we repeat this act again and again, and he did so by saying, "This is my body, broken for you. Take, eat, do this in remembrance of me." And knowing that we cannot live by bread alone, he took the cup as he did the bread, and he poured it so that we might remember the sight and the sound. And he shared it among us, saying, "This is faith made new, faith that will surprise you, faith that will sustain you, faith you didn't even know how to ask for. Drink and do this in remembrance of me." We break the bread, we drink from the cup, giving thanks for the love and forgiveness of Jesus Christ. But friends, this is not the table of Gates Presbyterian Church. This is not a Presbyterian table. This is God's table. All are welcome to participate and to share in this meal together. We will be passing the plates along the pews. As you receive the element, the bread or the cup, please just hold them until we then celebrate together. And I will indicate with words when we will do that. Friends, these are the gifts of God for the people of God. Let's share together. am the bread of life. Those who come to me will never be hungry. Those who believe in me will never thirst. Friends, taste the goodness of God's grace. Thank you.
has been one in which we have been fed and nourished with your peace. May we go from here refreshed and eager to be blessings to others in this world. Amen.
When we continue our time of worship in prayer, sharing together the prayers of joy and concern of our community. If you have a prayer you'd like to give voice to aloud, raise your hand and an usher will bring the microphone to you. We just ask that you let us know who you are and also to keep the prayer very short. We assure you that God knows.
Kate Stanford, just a prayer for my great aunt who was hospitalized at Thanksgiving that God sent her just healing powers.
For your aunt, Kate, thank you. Other hands this morning? Got one right here.
Kathy Wakeman, prayers of thanks for all of your prayers. Larry's heart surgery went really great. As you can see, he's here with us today.
Yay.
So everything went great. Thank you very much for your prayers.
Extra prayers of joy for that.
Andrea Unson, prayers for my sister-in-law, Mary. She had a knee replacement surgery this week, so just prayers for a fast recovery.
Prayers for Mary.
Sue Mancini, I'd like to know the pew that's two in front of me, who all those little people were that were joining us this morning. They were very well behaved, and I hope they come back, but I'd like to know who they were.
Rumors are there's a Cub Scout pack, is that correct? I'm seeing head nodding, that came and joined us in worship this morning, so we are very glad that they were here. I see one more hand here.
Prayers for our son-in-law, Brent Fitzpatrick, in Tennessee. He had not a full knee replacement, but an ACL transplant, and the last we heard from him a couple of days ago, he was in a lot of pain.
Prayers for his continued recovery. And prayers from our children this morning, prayers of joy for birthdays, for braces, for best friends who have new baby sister, prayers of joy that it's almost Christmas, well, 22 days away at least. Prayers for a great uncle who had surgery. Prayers for a mom's hand to heal. Let us join together in this time of prayer. Advent God, who comes to us in love and peace and joy, we thank you for love that nourishes and sustains our hearts, for peace that enables us to live in friendship with one another, for joy that illumines and inspires our lives. Holy God, we ask that you be with all those for whom joy seems far away, for all whose loneliness is illuminated during this time of year, for those who are grieving, for families who are struggling, for all those who need to be filled with your light and your love, which is all of us, O God. Comfort us, be with us. Now and always, we join our voices together saying the prayer you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I'm hearing the wonderful, joyful sounds of children who at the end of worship today will be handing you bookmarks. And if you end up with a bookmark, the idea of those is there is a name, an address on them. And if you would, just share a Christmas card with that person, and also you're welcome to keep the bookmark as a reminder to be in prayer for that person. But let us, with joy and thanksgiving, celebrate as we receive the morning offering.
God of hope, we come today bringing our gifts and dedicating them to your service. Bless these gifts and use them to serve the needs of the many. We bring them with joy in our hearts and songs of hope and praise on our lips. Amen.
God has invited us to be the rest of the story, to live out in the world, filling it with the love of God, the grace that has been gifted to us in our Lord Jesus Christ, and hope, live into the hope that comes from the Holy Spirit in our hearts in this world, now and always. Alleluia. I'll lose it. How are you? I love that shirt. How are you guys doing?
Good.